welcome to Outsources, a weekly show on KGNU created by and for queer communities in Colorado. My name is Kelly, and I am a current member of the volunteer collective of producers that brings Outsources to y'all every week. In the past months, our collective has been discussing how to keep making relevant and impactful content for local radio without losing track of the hundreds and hundreds of hours of audio that Outsources members have produced over the nearly 10 years that we've been on the air. So what we've decided to do is more consciously repurpose some evergreen shows from our archive, and that is what I am bringing you tonight. This show was originally aired on Martin Luther King Jr. Day in 2014 and is produced by former Outsources Collective member Siobhan. We hope you enjoy.
This is Shenanigans with Siobhan on Outsources. This week's show is entitled Our Place in the Dream, Bayard Rustin. Really what I want to do with this show is give tribute to Martin Luther King Jr. Day, which is today, so I hope you have all gone out in the world and done your day of service, but then also to kind of really talk about MLK, but more importantly, to talk about the role of Bayard Rustin in the I Have a Dream speech. And in order to really do that, I'm going to give you a few music clips to kind of set the mood. So what was going on that day, on the March on Washington, and then I will go back from that and talk about how did the civil rights movement get to that place, and how was Bayard Rustin vital, instrumental, and really truly the architect of that, and why don't most people know that?
Now I made it over. How did I make it over? Tell me how we got over, Lord. Had a mighty hard time coming on over. You know my soul, look back and wonder, how did we make it over?
And that was Mahalia Jackson singing, Lord, How Do I Get Over? Our next song is also from Mahalia Jackson. Both of these songs were sung live as people were marching on Washington. After that, we will hear a group singing Wade in the Water, which has such a powerful, powerful meaning in the Black and African American community. And again, all of these songs really are songs that were sang that day. Having parents who participated in the March on Washington, I sometimes feel as if I were there and really understand it. So have a listen.
We've been on wailing no more. We've been on wailing no more. We've been on.
Now, I know the title of this show and the whole focus is Shenanigans with Siobhan. Honestly, I don't really have a lot of words and or shenanigans for this. I want you to listen to a series of clips, which, yeah, I will speak in between and offer up some shenanigans. But really, for me, this is a moment in history that kind of has been undone. And I just really want people to understand the importance of Bayard Rustin and really what he did in shaping what we know about nonviolence. Also, also what we know of our movement, because yes, he was instrumental in the civil rights movement, but civil rights and, you know, the LGBT movement as we know it today, or the gay rights movement back then, were happening simultaneously, as was the labor movement. We also had the women's liberation movement going on back then, and all sorts of things. And I keep saying back then, but folks, we were only at the 50-year anniversary of I Have a Dream in August. So this was only 50 years ago. With that said, I'm going to give just a few minutes to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and talk about why this is a federal holiday. So the reason that we celebrate it at the time we do, because clearly it doesn't commemorate the March on Washington, is because this is when his birthday would have taken place, which was January 15th. And so it's kind of a floating holiday and, you know, occurs somewhere around the time of Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday. So, Dr. Martin Luther King did a lot for civil rights, and I'm not at all suggesting that he did not. I'm just querying, would you say, the image that he was the only person with the exception of Rosa Parks. King was the chief spokesperson for the nonviolent activism that took place during the civil rights movement, which in a lot of ways, at least on the books up until recently, changed the way that racial discrimination happened in terms of federal and state laws. And as I mentioned with Bayard Rustin, who served as the mentor to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., it really was the nonviolent component of that that shaped then what we do in all sorts of movements, which, you know, today these movements happen quite often. We're marching on something, we're protesting, we're occupying, we're doing all of these things. But in 1963, this was unheard of, and this was actually not happening. In fact, the March on Washington was actually scheduled for an earlier date and was planned, again, by A. Philip Randolph and Bayard Rustin, but before it could actually happen, some rumors suggest that the demands were met before it could happen. All that aside, I would like us to listen to a clip of the I Have a Dream speech, because, you know, regardless of all things, the I Have a Dream speech is really iconic and has been heard by millions of people since it was delivered. And it really does serve as kind of this beacon of hope or this beacon of life, and in many ways dictates this hope that people had then that we really still have now. I mean, excerpts of it are played everywhere. You heard them all day today. You may have even heard the 17-minute speech in its entirety. But could you imagine being Bayard Rustin and standing behind Dr. MLK and feeling this incredible sense of pride, but at the same time realizing that in many ways you could not be the face of this movement and demonstrate all the work, the passion, everything that you love and everything that you believe in because you're gay? And you're gay in a time where any type of difference, anything that is not white heteronormativity, and often very male, if we think about it, in middle class, is not okay. I cannot imagine exactly how he felt, but it's probably similar to how many, many people of color felt this summer when, you know, DOMA was overturned and Prop 8, but at the same time, the Voting Rights Act went away or is being challenged, and all of these things for people. But I do, again, still really want us to listen to it and take it into heart and try to internalize it for just a minute. And I'm not going to play the whole 17 minutes, maybe 5 minutes, which is the 5 minutes we hear all the time. But I want you to think about it in the context of being that person, being Bayard Rustin, who is standing there listening to this, feeling a sense of pride and simultaneous sadness.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, and when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, We will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
Just tuning in, you are listening to Shenanigans with Siobhan on KGNU Boulder, Denver Outsources. Tonight's show is on Our Place in the Dream, Bayard Rustin. Wow. Every time I hear it, I really truly get chills, and I feel inspired to have a dream, to try harder, to work harder. It makes having a day off of work or school or whatever that looks like and giving back to the community mean so much more. But what I want to do now is transition, because I've said a little bit about Bayard Rustin. Anybody with a computer can Google Bayard Rustin and learn more. And if you've seen Brother Outsider, which if you haven't, I highly recommend it. It was recommended to me and I watched it in preparation for this and definitely had a greater appreciation for him. But what I thought would be interesting is not to hear my shenanigans, but to hear what other people have had to say about Bayard over the years and what they have to say about his legacy. And one of the ones that I really want to start with, though it is probably the most recent of the clips, is the one when President Obama bestowed on Bayard Rustin, who has since passed away, but presented it to his partner of his of Bayard's last 10 years, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which I believe is the highest civilian award that a person can get. And again, this just happened in November of 2013, but it's interesting to hear what President Obama has to say. So let's take a listen.
Now, early in the morning, the day of the March on Washington, the National Mall was far from full, and some in the press were beginning to wonder if the event would be a failure. But the march's chief organizer, Bayard Rustin, didn't panic. As the story goes, he looked down at a piece of paper, looked back up, and reassured reporters that everything was right on schedule. The only thing those reporters didn't know was that the paper he was holding was blank. He didn't know how it was going to work out, but Bayard had an unshakable optimism, nerves of steel, and most importantly, a faith that if the cause is just and people are organized, nothing can stand in our way. So for decades, this great leader, often at Dr. King's side, was denied his rightful place in history because he was openly gay. No medal can change that, but today we honor Bayard Rustin's memory by taking our place in his march towards true equality.
So we just heard President Obama's speech and what he had to say about Bayard Rustin, which is fantastic and wonderful that, you know, we as a country or we as a people, especially Black and African American people, can acknowledge this man and the role that he really played. But what I want to play for you now is another clip that speaks to Bayard Rustin as a person and then Bayard Rustin's role.
King owed much to his alliance with Rustin. But because Rustin was gay, it was an alliance that would also make his leadership vulnerable to attack. Despite efforts to discredit Rustin, preparations for the march continued. And on August 28, 1963, a quarter of a million Americans gathered in Washington, demanding that Congress put an end to officially sanction racism.
Without Bayard Rustin as the organizer, the March on Washington would have been like a bird without wings. It was a sea of humanity. He had the ability to pull people together. He was able to reach out to hundreds and thousands of people all across America.
So I told you I saw Brother Outsider in preparation for this, and I want to play for you one of my favorite clips from this movie, and I think it really shapes who Bayard Rustin is in his own words and what he stands for. So it's this debate that he had with Malcolm X, who debate was titled Integration versus Segregation. And then there's some commentary from this gentleman about the debate between the two of them. And again, it just really shapes who he was, like the character of who he was as a person. Have a listen.
The problem can never be stated in terms of black and white. And any movement which begins by blocking out the active cooperation of the best minds, many of which are white as well as black, is fighting a losing battle.
South Africa doesn't preach freedom. Or Russia doesn't call itself the leader of the free world. It's America that looks upon herself and represents herself as the leader of the free world while she has 20 million black people here who aren't even citizens. It is for this reason that America is doomed, and it is for this reason that we who follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad feel that our only hope is not integration with a doomed society, but complete separation from a doomed society.
It was a great debate, and I kept saying, when I listened to it, I said, stand your ground, Bayard, stand your ground. Bayard was really trying to get Malcolm to see that it's a world community, a human community, a family in the United States. And Malcolm was talking like Marcus Garvey. Separate.
Democratization and socialization the Negro cannot do alone. As we follow this form of mass action and strategic nonviolence, we will not only put pressure on the government, but we will put pressure on other groups which ought by their nature to be allied with us.
So you've heard various clips about Bayard Rustin, but let's take a 2 to 3 minute, if that. I think it's actually really only like a 30-second clip to listen to what he stood for in his own words.
I am not ready to die. I want no Negro to die. I want no human being to die or to be brutalized, because I thoroughly believe that this struggle can be won without brutalization.
So I've shared a lot of information with you about Bayard Rustin and really his legacy, and I just encourage you all to really think about it and think about what various identities and how they impact each and every aspect of our life, no matter what group you're in. Much of the music and the singing and the spirituals and the hymns that you heard are very religious in nature and have a strong focus on God and Heavenly Father and what that means and how strong those ties are in the Black an African-American community, especially in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s, and how having that deeply rooted faith in a fear of being perceived as actually being less than, as the law stated, in many ways push people to the outside. So what are we doing now in these movements that are potentially doing the same thing, though it may not be through the avenue or the lens of God or spirituality, but for fear that our differences as a community may stall or hurt or look poorly upon a movement? And how are we treating the individuals in these movements? And what will that mean for their legacy? Just something to think about.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. And Lord, we shall overcome someday.
Sources on KGNU. I'm Kelly, and you've just heard an Evergreen Archive episode, something that we have repurposed that was originally aired in 2014 and produced by former collective member Siobhan. For more information about Outsources, you can visit news.kgnu.org and click on the Outsources tab under the Shows and Features menu. And as always, let us know if you have comments or feedback about today's show by emailing outsources@kgnu.org. KGNU FM 88.5 Boulder, KGNU 1390 AM Denver, 99.1 FM in Central Denver, 98.7 FM in Fort Collins, 93.7 FM in Nederland, online at kgnu.org, on mobile devices with the KGNU app, and on smart speakers by saying play KGNU.